right, remain standing. Take your Bibles, please. Turn to Nehemiah chapter 6. Nehemiah chapter 6. We're going to read the first four verses together. We'll read these verses responsively. You got my tongue tangled up there. Sorry. Nehemiah chapter 6, verses 1 through 4. Nehemiah 6, 1 through 4, and we'll read this passage responsively. Now it came to pass when Sanballat and Tobiah and Geshem the Arabian and the rest of our enemies heard that I had builded the wall and that there was no breach left therein, though at that time I had not set up the doors upon the gates, that Sanballat and Geshem sent unto me, saying, Come, let us meet together in some one of the villages in the plain of Ono. But they thought to do unto me mischief. And I sent messengers unto them, saying, I am doing a great work, so that I cannot come down. Why should the work cease whilst I leave it and come down to you? Yet they sent unto me four times after this sort, and I answered them after the same manner. And let's pray. Father, we sure do need you. Oh, in the next 35 minutes or so, I pray that you would challenge us, inspire us. And Lord, would you change us so that we could be what you need us to be. Help us in a special way. Lord, this is kind of like a little family meeting of the church tonight, and we're gathered around your word to hear what you have to say to us. May we hear with open ears and open hearts to allow the Spirit to help us. In Jesus' name, amen. And you may be seated. Nehemiah is one of the greatest people that I know in the Word of God. By the way, Nehemiah hasn't always been one of my favorite characters, but the older I get, the more I do, the more I study the Word of God, the more Nehemiah becomes a great person to me in the Word of God. The book of Nehemiah was a very principled man. He was a driven man, and he had a big job to do that nobody believed he could do, and God used him to get it done. Now, what you don't understand, this is hard to believe even in our day, but many of the special forces units of the United States military uses principles from the book of Nehemiah. They'll even tell them this came from the book of Nehemiah in the Bible. And oftentimes they'll even say the King James Bible, because that's the only real Bible. Amen. But they use it today to train our troops. There's many tactics that are taught here and used here. But Ezra had gained permission to raise funds and go in and rebuild Jerusalem after the 70 years of captivity to Babylon and Media Persia and that whole regime there. And Nehemiah was the one commissioned to go rebuild the wall around Jerusalem. Now, this wasn't like just going out and building a little block wall, one little layer all the way around the city. This was a huge, massive undertaking. It was many, many, many miles long. It was approximately 50 feet wide, and they could run four horses side by side with chariots down the middle of it. This is not some little wall. It was huge. It was massive. And they did all of this in 42 days. 6 weeks, they got it done. And just an amazing, amazing, amazing work. Here's a bunch of slaves just getting out of bondage. And in less than 7 weeks, God uses them. Did I say 42? I think it was 52 days. I apologize. All of a sudden, that number didn't sound right to me. 52 days, just a little over 7 weeks, they were able to go in and rebuild that entire wall. Under 2 months, that is amazing. Now, they literally, though, while they were building day and night, had people fighting them. If you read through the book of Nehemiah, you find out that the men that worked on the wall, they had their sword at their side, and they were troweling with one hand, and they didn't even quit working on the wall to fight. They just kept troweling with one hand and swinging their sword with the other hand. Hey, I need a little glue. Yeah, there we go, you know, get a little blood in the concrete there, and on they went. And it's just an amazing, amazing, amazing book. Now, please forgive my political incorrectness here, but there were three men, and they were Muslims. You say, how do you know? Because it says, now it came to pass when Sanballat and Tobiah and Geshem the Arabian, Saudi Arabia, those are Muslims. These are the same Arabians that we have today. These were Muslim people. By the way, they hated the Jews then. They hate them now. And they'll hate them till Jesus comes back at the Battle of Armageddon and wipes them out. Amen. Till Jesus comes back and stomps the snot out of them, it's going to be that way. And but anyway, they wanted Nehemiah to stop. He said, look, why don't you come down, quit working for a while, and why don't you meet us part way? We'll meet you in the valley. Nehemiah said, I cannot come down. The work is great, and I'm not going to meet you. You're there to stop the work, and I'm not going to stop the work for you or anybody else. The Bible says in verse number 4 that they tried 4 more times to do that. 5 times these Arabians tried to get Nehemiah to quit the work to meet. We don't need more meetings. We need more work. We don't need Congress to have more special investigations. We need them to work. We don't need Christians to have, and I'm not saying conferences are wrong, but we got too many people going and doing conferences, and they're not going soul winning and doing what they're supposed to do. I'm not against a conference. I am not. I've been to a lot of them. I've hosted a bunch of them. I've preached in them. I've been a major part of some of the biggest conferences this nation has had in fundamentalism. But may I say this? We don't need another conference. We need to go out and do what we've been trained to do in the Word of God. Having a conference isn't going to change anybody. Us going out and doing what we're supposed to do will change people's lives. Now, I want you to notice something that Nehemiah said that I want to focus on tonight. Verse number 3. He said, I am doing a great work so that I cannot come down. Why should the work cease whilst I leave it and come down to you? Wow. I love that. I love that. Why should the work cease that I come down and meet with you? Grace Baptist Church, we've got a lot before us. We're going to temporarily move to a smaller place so that we can build a building. But I want you to realize a building is not the work. Reaching people is the work. Say that again. A building is not our work. Reaching people is our work. Did you know it doesn't matter if we meet in the tent? Doesn't matter if we meet in this building, another building, or the one that we build down there? We're still supposed to be reaching people. It's not about building a building. It's about reaching people. The building will be a tool to help us reach more people. Yes, it will. But the building is not the work. The people are the work. Now, that means this. If we stop soul winning to build, we've stopped reaching people. Somebody say amen. If we stop going after visitors, we've come down off the wall. If we stop going after people that are hurting, we've come down off the wall. May I say this? While we're troweling concrete and cutting trees and doing what we're going to do down there, we're supposed to keep going soul winning. One reason it's going to cost us a little extra maybe is because I don't plan on us stopping soul winning, reaching visitors, and having revival type services like we're having at Grace Baptist Church to build a building. Watch too many churches say, oh, we can save $75,000, $100,000 by building, and they ruin their church. The church never gets done, and the building stays stagnant for years because they came down off the wall to build a building and they quit reaching people. We're going to keep on reaching people. If we stop going after sinners, we've come down off the wall. We cannot come down. May I say this? There will be Sanballats and Tobias and Geshems in our future who are going to try to get us down off the wall to meet. There are going to be those who oppose us and want to battle us so that we stop building. Keep building people. Keep soul winning. Keep going after visitors. I don't care what anybody says. Keep on going. They're going to send letters. They're going to Facebook. They're going to say all kinds of things in social media things, whether they think it's true or kind or untrue or not, they're going to say it. I love what God says. Let them wag their tongues. You know what? I've had people say things for a long time. I've never let it bother me before. Why should I let it bother me now? Do you know the best way to shut your critic up is to outproduce him? I decided a long time ago, if somebody decides to stick a knife in my back and they do something, and maybe even it's internal or somewhere else, I say, God, for every person that leaves, we're going to go out and replace them with two. Every person that gets hurt that leaves, we're going to go replace them with two. So that means this: we've got to go out there and get to the work. We've got to reach people. Everybody doing all right? Man, I'm about to have fun. By the way, what are you doing reading what they have to say anyway? Do you know I don't read those things? I don't read what people say about me. I don't look for my name on the internet to find out what people are saying. That could be depressing. I don't, when somebody sends me a bad letter, I don't, I usually don't even read it. If it starts off, brother, you're my friend, but I got, okay, here we go. If I get into this thing a little bit, I just throw it away. I don't listen to it. Don't read it. Tell you, aren't you interested? No. I got a work to build. Throw it away, get on going. Everybody doing all right? I don't need to fight them. I got to fight the devil. God needs you to keep building and reaching people and help us build the work of God. He doesn't need us fighting with a bunch of people to get us our eyes off of what we're supposed to be doing. Everybody doing all right? We will do more to stop the critics and the opposers by continuing to build than we will by trying to defend God. For us to stop and defend the work will go undone. Now, I hate to say this, I'm not going to stop the work to go meet them. I'm not going to take time off to go meet these people and find out what their gripes are. They can go drink coffee and talk about me at Dunkin' Donuts or Cracker Barrel or anywhere they want. They might even call me and invite me, and I say, hey, good, have the meeting. I'm just not going to be there. I got more to do. We cannot come down. Grace Baptist Church is God's church. God helped us start this work, and it's His church, not my church. It's His church, not your church. He said, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Moving is the wisest thing for us to do right now financially. It just makes good sense. It's what God wants us to do. We are not closing the church to my critics in internet land. We are changing addresses to scale down our finances to take care of the needs so that we can build another building or build our first building and buy property and take care of the needs financially for that as we keep going. That is the purpose of what we're doing. We are not closing the church. By the way, I know this is what God wants. I didn't see a vision. I didn't get a word of knowledge. I didn't wake up one night in the middle of the night and said, honey, I had a dream. I have a dream that we're going to build a building. I didn't have one of those. It became a nightmare real fast. God didn't show me a sign. I didn't say, God, show me the sign that says Grace Baptist Church. He said, you drive to it every day. What do you, more of a sign do you need? I didn't have signs. It's just what God wants us to do. Now, we're going to face some ups and downs along the way. And as I said this morning, if we're going the right direction, we're going to face some opposition. Everybody hear that? You're going to face some opposition. You're going to face somebody saying, oh, you guys shouldn't be doing that. Oh, your church must be doing really, really, really bad. No, we're doing really, 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 really good. Some little Twitty guy called me this week and said, well, how many of those people really mean it? I said, the same percentage of yours that mean it. I said, you had two, we had 2,000. I said, God's more happy with 2,000 than he is two. Get off your backside and go do something. He said, you shouldn't have said that. I didn't like his attitude. He said, I don't think you ought to talk that way. I said, that's why you're not doing anything and we're having fun. He said, well, you just don't understand the state that I am in. I said, my Bible says, whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. I said, God didn't say he could do it in West Virginia and not your state. He said he could do it anywhere. God's God. Amen. I said, don't give me that stuff. Man, I'm having fun. We're going to have many things and opinions stated about us. You might even state your opinion, and it might be contrary to mine. May I say this? I can't tell you. I'm excited about everything about the new place we're going to. It's not as big as I want it to be. But guess what? It's what God's made available for us. It's not going to be as pretty as I want it to be. And we're not going to put a bunch of money in it. New carpet, new paint, new everything else. We're only going to be in it temporary. Why suck money into it? We're going to make do with it for a while. Amen? Boy, I'm having fun here. By the way, I don't care what others say. We're going to do work for God. And I want God pleased. Now, we need to be focused on the work, not what people say about it. Now, by the way, I don't care what level of person somebody is saying. Well, I know so-and-so, and they've reached such and such status. So? So? Everybody doing all right? I know people that criticized Brother Hiles while he went to the Hammond Civic Center and for 6 months didn't have Sunday school in the world's largest Sunday school while they finished the new building. They even quit their Sunday schools because they didn't have room for it for 6 months. I guess God was okay with that because for the next 30 years, they blew the doors off that joint and bought up about 20 more buildings in downtown and filled them up. I guess God could bless it, amen? All right, here we go. I got to hurry. I've got 19 and a half minutes and 3 points. Here we go. Number one, the work for us is people, not the construction of a building. The work for us is people, not the construction of a building. It's not walls, it's people. We need to do more soul winning, not less, during this time. We need to invite more people, not less, during this time. We've got to keep our momentum going, folks. If we back off, you say, well, preacher, that auditorium's going to be full. Good. Well, we might be a little uncomfortable. Good. Let's go get more people. Did you know the more uncomfortable we get and the more people we reach, the faster God's going to help us get done what we need to get done? We've got to turn it into a need for God, not just a want for us. Boy, that's a good statement. That means we've got to keep visitors coming every week we can. Every week we can. We need to be adding new church members on a regular basis. We've got to grow ourselves to where we're here like we're supposed to be here. Amen. We need to keep picking up the fallen and help them do things for God. Don't get mad at me. I had somebody recently, they said, well, Pastor, what do you think about divorce? I knew where they were going with it. I said, well, number one, I'm not for it, but I'm not against divorced people. I said, divorced people don't have the plague. I said, divorced people, there's only two things a divorced person cannot do. They can't be pastor, and they can't be a deacon. I said, past that, everything else in the Word of God is wide open. I said, they can teach Sunday school, they can sing in the choir, they can sing specials, they can go soul winning, they can shake hands, they can do anything else in the church. Those are the only two positions, scripturally, they cannot hold. I said, I challenge you to show me anything but that. Boy, did they crawl back in a hole in a hurry. Now, wait a minute. I said, too many people are trying to put a weight or a degree on sin. I said, did you know God puts liars in the same list he puts what you call deep sin?
Yes, sir.
I took him to Revelation chapter 21. The fellow was crawling out of my office and never opened the door. He just walked under it. I wasn't mad. I just wasn't going to play that game. Can I tell you something? I don't advise people to get divorced, but if you're divorced, God can use you. I think y'all stay married to who you're married to. Amen? Just hang in there. We'll help you. Preacher, you just don't understand what kind of person he is or she is. They're all the same. They just have a different look and a different last name. God didn't make men and women to think alike. Glory to God. That's called sodomites. I don't want my wife to think like me all the time. Say why? Because I didn't marry a man. Praise God. We need to realize the work is people. Lifting people up. Helping people. Getting people saved. When we get our eyes off people and we start saying, look at our wonderful building. Look how beautiful our church is. Look how what God's doing with our church building. And I'm for us having a building, but the focus ought not be the building. It ought to be the people inside. It's not going to be stained glass, because there isn't going to be any. But it's going to be the people inside. You see, we need to keep running our bus. Mrs. Lopez organizing, picking people up. Till we can buy another van and start picking them up in a van. We're going to keep doing what we're supposed to be doing. Everybody doing all right? Okay. 15 minutes. Here we go. Number two. We're going to sacrifice some of our comfort for a time in order to get the building work done so that we can expand even more. We're going to sacrifice some comforts. Did you know that the Jews left the comfort of Babylon to go live in rubble? They built a wall. Jerusalem had been laid waste for 70 years. In the entire city, the Bible says there was not one stone left upon another. In other words, an entire city had been leveled and not one brick, not two bricks were left put together from 70 years before. It had been so desolate. It would be like Hiroshima or Nagasaki after we bombed it and nobody being there since we bombed it till last year to start rebuilding it. How would you like to have gone into Hiroshima 70 years later with nothing there, not one stone left upon another, and live in that, and before you build your own house, you start building a wall around the city to protect the city, then you begin building where you're going to live. They gave up a lot of comfort. They gave up a lot of things. They downsized. They could only, what they carried is all they had. They didn't have a place to put it or store it. By the way, we're not going to have all the comforts we're used to. I hate to tell you, the bathroom facilities aren't going to be the Waldorf Astoria. Now, they're not going to be dirty, But some of y'all are going to have to take the elevator, go to the second floor, and the one that's on the main floor in the auditorium is in the back of the auditorium behind the platform, and it's a one-seater, amen? And I'm sorry. I wish it didn't have to be that way. We'll get two blue huts and put out front if we have to, I guess. Maybe a blue one and a pink one. I guess you can't do that in today's society. Somebody might get confused. We're going to put our chairs together, and they're going to be more of a pew than a chair. Some of you that have little ones, we're going to have to kind of conserve space. We're gonna go to an auditorium that seats about 80 or 90 people, and it's going to be close to do it. Okay? Not right now. We've got wide spaces between our chairs. We're not going to have wide spaces. I'm just going to tell you, you're not going to have those wide aisles. That means this: when visitors are there and they need to move, you need to be moving to the altar so that they can get out and move to the altar. Everybody doing all right? May I say this? We're going to have to keep tithing while we do it. Even though our amount of outgo is going down, I need the amount of income to stay level or go up so that we can care for what's coming. Everybody understand that? That's the reality of it. We have to keep tithing. We have to reach people. We have to sacrifice a little bit. No, you're not going to have full-blown breakfast before Sunday school. We're not going to have room for it. I said this during my announcements, and I don't mean to be unkind, and I have nobody in mind, but there is one door to the auditorium, and it's from outside. If you come late, the door opens, outside comes in, amen? And everybody's going to know it. There's no foyer. The foyer is the parking lot. It just is what it is. And don't stand out in the rain just to wait between songs. Get inside, amen? I have no problem with that. And I know some of you are real conscientious about that. And I'm serious when I say this. I'm going to need us to fill the front to the back so that those that do come a little later can get in. And we're going to have to fill up on the opposite side of the door so that as people come in, they don't have to crawl all over five or six people to get to where they got to go. We're going to have to think ahead that way. Everybody understand that? I need everybody to come in the door. It's going to be on that side of the auditorium and fill up this way in the front first so that we can push in that way. Say, that's silly, preacher. No, that means we can keep people walking the aisle, getting saved, and getting their life changed. That's what it's all about. Boy, I'm having fun. Number three, and I'm done. Listen to this. We cannot come down to listen to the critics or the opposers. We cannot come down to listen to the critics or the opposers. Can I tell you something? For you to listen to a critic, you've already come down. You've already come down to listen to him. Nehemiah didn't listen to him. He said, I cannot come down. He didn't say, I won't. He said, I cannot. He said, I've got a work to do. I've got a job to do. And I cannot come down. Let's live, decide now, we'll live above what the critics say. Let's decide now we're going to live above what the devil has to say. Let's decide now that we're just going to grab the bull by the horns and say, there's people out there going to think that we're giving in, but we're just getting our feet under us to take this thing at full throttle. That's all we're doing. Now, wait a minute. And I mean this. Choose now not to read anything negative on Facebook that somebody posts. Everybody doing all right? I don't understand Facebook. The only Facebook I have is this. I don't do it. I have never been on it. I know what it is, but I've not even sure I've ever seen it. I know some of the terminology. I know how it works. Can I tell you something? I don't care what somebody else says. I really don't. Well, preacher, wouldn't you like to get on Facebook so that you could talk to people you haven't talked to in 20 and 30 years? If I haven't talked to them in 20 and 30 years, what do I need to talk to them about now? Y'all know where I'm coming from?
Yes, sir.
Well, they've lost contact with you. Okay. That's what heaven's all about. I've lived this long. Now, I'm for anybody I catch up with from here, hither, and yon. No problem. I'll enjoy it and sit there and talk to you, but I'm not going to come down off the work to do it either. Yes. Choose now not to read what negative people put on Facebook, social media, send in the mail, whatever it is. Decide now. You're not going to even listen to what they have to say. Did you know you can say, don't go there? And if they say, well, you got to hear, say, click, little red button turns it off, and it's real fast, amen? Well, that might be rude. I'd rather be rude than have somebody barf in my ear. It's more rude for them to throw up in my ear than it is for me to sit there and turn them off. Everybody doing all right? Man, I'm having fun. We must do battle with the Word of God. This is our sword. May I say this? Don't get in arguments with people. Don't get in fusses and feuds with people. Don't get in, and I know how this area is, and please let me say this as your preacher and as your friend. I love you enough to say this. Some of you have family members that go to other churches and other kinds of churches even in the area. Don't get in a big argument and get yourself all huffy about it. Just keep doing what we're supposed to do. Everybody doing all right? Smile. I love you. They're going to get all hot and huffy anyway. They've been hot and huffy before. What makes you think they're not going to get hot and huffy now? Why do you want to listen to them now? You're going to get yourself all disturbed and then not win souls. You're going to get so upset that you quit doing what God wants you to do to go do that. And may I say this, that's what the devil wants. That means this, we use the Word of God to battle with. You say, how do we battle? Go out and win people to Christ and bring them to church. Go out and go soul winning and invite people to church.
That's good.
When you're at work, invite people to go to church. When you're at school, you invite them to go to church. When you're out and about, you invite them to go to church. That's how you do it. Can I tell you something? You'll do more for God by doing it His way than you will battling the opposers.
Right.
You'll do more for God by doing it His way than you will by battling the opposers. When you start battling the opposers, you quit doing what God wants and start doing what the devil wants. I don't fight with preachers who disagree with me. I don't spend any time with them to fight with them. I really don't. I've been invited to their meetings. You say, do you go? Thank you very much. I won't be able to make it. My schedule's busy. What are you doing? Soul winning. I make sure I go soul winning while they have their meeting. That doesn't make the devil real happy either. Say, how does it make them feel? Don't know. Didn't ask them. Didn't get invited back either. Doesn't bother me. I got people to help. I got people to reach. You'll do more by reaching people than battling the opposers and answering the critics. May I say this, Grace Baptist Church, we cannot come down. We cannot come down. Let's keep doing what we have been doing, whether we're in this building, the one over in Aiken Center, or on the new property in a brand new building. Let's keep doing what we're supposed to be doing.
Yes, sir.
Doesn't matter what building we're in. It does matter what we're doing.
Right.
I learned a long time ago that geography of the will of God's not as important as doing what the will of God says we're supposed to do. Do you know you can't take the gospel to the wrong person? Do you know you can't preach to the wrong people? Do you know as long as you're doing what you're supposed to do, God will take care of the where? Oh, I got some plans. Man, I'm hoping this summer we'll put us a big tent up down here and have a tent revival meeting for a week or so down on the new property. I got some plans, let me tell you. We're not even going to have room for a baptistry. But we're going to baptize people in a new place. I'm going to come up with something. I don't know what I'm going to do yet. I might have to put a baptistry in the back of my pickup truck, have Brother Barnes drive that thing up there and put a ladder to have people crawl in and out of it. But we're going to do it, amen? I do not know how we're going to do it yet, but we're going to do it. We might have to find a creek or somebody's swimming pool to have baptizing, but we're going to have to schedule them a little bit, maybe at first, till I can figure out how to have something there and available every week. But there's not room for a baptistry. The platform has enough room for this pulpit and me to stand behind, and that's it. The platform is puny, and it's only about that high. I got a tour group from Commonwealth coming July 3rd. This is going to be fun. You say, where are we going to put everybody? I'm not worried about it. God's going to take care of it. How long is it going to be, preacher? I can't tell you yet. I can't tell you. I think we ought to plan on 6-8 months at least, because it's going to take us a while. We don't have all the money we need to. If you started building next week, which isn't going to happen, it's going to take 4 to 6 months to get a building up. And that's if they can move it along pretty quick. Amen, Brother Mike? I just know. It could take us a little while. We may end up renting from time to time some room at the Comfort Inn and moving people down to the Comfort Inn and filling up the other one. I don't know what we're going to do, but God's going to take care of it. God's going to take care of it. Don't worry about it. Okay? Let's just do our part. We'll force God to open up doors to fill up buildings somewhere else. That's all I can tell you. Let's not come down off the wall. We cannot come down. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Grace Baptist Church, we cannot come down. We need to join forces and work harder and do more than we've ever done. We can't back off. We must keep going forward.